Good morning once again, and welcome. It's good to see everyone out today. It's been a beautiful weekend. God has blessed us immensely with a fantastic weekend, and I hope you've been able to get outside and experience the nice weather. Hopefully you got a chance to go outside and experience nice weather with your father. So if you haven't, make sure you do it today, all right? For those of you that still have your fathers around, I know that I'm blessed to have mine. So today, we're going to continue in our look at our identity in Christ as we are going to be finishing up Ephesians 4 today. You know, and I pray that Ephesians has really been a challenge to you personally. You know, as we've gone through this series, I pray that it has been something that has really challenged you. You know, last week we discussed the importance of living a life worthy of Christ, and how Jesus has chosen some to be leaders in the church. Not that they are any better or any worse, but God has given them the special ability to teach His Word. And I pray that we pray for our leaders, because it's important that we pray for them, because they're under a lot of spiritual warfare that goes on inside the church. You know, we learned that Christian maturity is important, and that we're all working our way through being mature Christians and followers of Christ. Not that we're perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but we're striving to be better, right? That should be what we should be striving for. We don't lower the bar in any way to make that possible, because Jesus is the standard. He is the bar, and that is where we're trying to reach. We don't lower it any lower than Christ. Not that we'll be perfect, but by golly, we need to be getting better. Now today we keep that standard of Jesus in mind as we begin to look at Ephesians 4, 17 to 32. And we'll be looking at these verses today in a message that I've entitled, Living the Christian Life. Christians are set apart for God's good purposes. We are set apart. Breaking news. For those of you that don't know, Christians are supposed to be different than anyone else on the face of the planet. We are different. We are different. But are we living that different style of life? You know, when we understand the importance of this and being different, we begin to act in a different way. Or at least I pray that we begin to act in a different way. Not only do we begin to act a different way, we look different. We walk different, we talk differently than the rest of the world. We're set apart to be different. God has designed it that way for a purpose. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. That's the way it is supposed to be. You know, at one point, sinners wanted to... At one point, we all were sinners and we wanted our own desires. What I want is what I want, and whatever it takes for me to get it, that's what I am going to do. But when you come into a relationship with Jesus, all of that changes. It all changes. And that's something that we're going to be talking about today. We are to be different. You know, I have a carton of eggs here this morning. And thank you, Donna King, if you're watching us this morning, for giving me this. These are some farm fresh eggs. I'm sure that they were. She did wash them for me. But if you look at this carton, there is one in there that is just a little bit different. It's different than all of the other ones. All of the other ones are some shade of brown except for that one white one. And if we are to take this carton and look at it as the world is all of the brown eggs except for the one that is different. And I just want you guys to know that I had several people talk to me about these eggs this week when I put it on Facebook. And several people asked me if I was going to use the eggs to throw into the congregation. I said it depends on how they act. But we are to be different. You know, and one of the things that happens when we look at the scripture is when we read it, it needs to come in and really speak to our hearts. And that's exactly what I pray that God is going to do this morning. So let's go ahead and we'll start out by reading verses 17 through 19 here in Ephesians 4. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the fertility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. The follower of Jesus Christ is different. And the character of our lives, it must reflect the character of Christ. We're set apart, different, to impact God's kingdom. Remember back to when you, before you knew Christ, and some of you are going to have to think way, way back. But remember what you were before you met Jesus Christ. Remember the character that you had and displayed for the world before you knew Jesus. Have you changed? Have you changed since you've come into a relationship with Him? We have to. Why? Because He changes us. He's the one that changes us. I could do nothing to change myself before I knew Jesus Christ. I could think about the character that I wanted to present and the person that I wanted to be, but could I be that person without Jesus? I would try and try and try and fail and fail and fail. It may happen for a season, but guess what? Then we start to revert back into our old ways, and guess what? We become that old person again until you meet Jesus. And that fast, you start to change. When you surrender your life to Christ, it happens that fast. Not that we are completely and totally changed in an instant, but we are definitely different because we are being transformed into His image. You know, we were darkened in our understanding. We were darkened in our understanding because of the sin that we indulged in. And I love the way that Paul describes it. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. Sin's hooks. Sin hooks us with the promise of satisfaction and pleasure and fun, and no one's going to get hurt. It's just you and the sin. Sin lies to you to get you to indulge in it. And what happens? When we begin to indulge in sin, we like it because it is fun. It is very stimulating. It is pleasing. And many people would go, I can't believe a pastor standing up there encouraging people. I am not encouraging, not at all, but I'm telling you the truth. It is fun for a time. But this is what happens with sin. Sin lies because it only shows you the good things that happen. It doesn't show you the things that are going to come because of the consequences of that sin. Let's go ahead and look at this. How many of you would love to eat that, man, whole? Now, I have to be honest with you, Stacy. I picked this picture not because of you. I picked this picture because this is very, very simple. When I started thinking about what kind of a an image to put up on sin's pleasure and what the consequences may be. When we start thinking about the consequences of serious sin, and I'm talking pornography, I'm talking lying and gambling and embezzling, I'm talking about men and women who are caught up in adultery, I'm talking about people that are alcoholics and find themselves hooked on drugs. I don't want to put those kinds of images up there, even though I probably should. This is an easy one. If I keep eating a hamburger like that and French fries for most of my adult life, what am I going to look like? I'm going to be huge. It's going to impact my family life. It's going to impact my health. It's going to keep me out of what God's called me to do, just like all those other things do. But once we start, if we don't stop, it'll keep asking for more and more and more, because that's what sin does. It is never, ever satisfied. It always wants fed 24/7, 365 days a year. It never, ever stops. And it brings consequences of destroyed lives and families, and people get lost. It destroys all these things. But sin always wants more. You know, Paul uses an interesting metaphor of our hearts in these verses. He talks about it as our spiritual hearts. You know, at a young age, our spiritual hearts are very innocent, and they haven't been impacted by a sinful world. Yes, we each are born with a sinful nature, but as a young person and a young child, they are innocent until what? Until sin begins to happen in their lives or in their families, and they begin to see the impacts and the consequences of those sins. And then when they start indulging in sin themselves, they find that it is enjoyable and fun for a season, and then they're hooked. And that innocence is lost, and their hearts truly become hard. They become hard. You know, once we gain these negative impacts of sin and our hearts begin to become like stone, what do we do? What do we do? I believe that we're living in a world that is unlike any other time in history. We are living in a very interesting time in our world. And let me tell you how fast sin can enter the innocence of a person. I have the world at my fingertip, right here, and with a punch of a few buttons, sin can enter in real, real fast. And we carry it around with us all the time. Now, I'm not saying that this is evil. I'm saying that evil will use the opportunities that it is given, and it has. We know things today pretty much in an instant. If something happens over halfway around this world, we know it within minutes. It doesn't take days or weeks or months for us to get the information. It happens right now. And when you're sharing information that fast, sin will take its opportunity that it is afforded, and it will run rampant. And it happens all the time. And hearts truly begin to be hardened. And when I say that we have this information at our fingertips, we're constantly bombarded with sinful acts and behaviors. And we can really begin to lose our compassion for others pretty quick. It happens really fast. The line keeps getting moved so far in front of us that we don't know where it's ever going to end. I never thought in my lifetime that I would be seeing the things that I watch on network TV today. I never thought in a million years I would ever see stuff like that. But by golly, it keeps happening and getting worse and worse and worse. we don't know where to draw the line and say, it cannot go past this. Just as God told the oceans, this far you may go, and that is it, we can't do that. And that ball has already been kicked down the road so far that I don't know if we'll ever get it back. That's what happens when our hearts are hardened and sin is looked at as right and righteousness is wrong. Okay, moving on to the next few verses, verses 20 through 24. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way, since you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted in its deceitful desires, to be made new in attitude of your minds, and to put on a new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So in the first three verses, Paul starts out and he's starting to tell people, you know, this is what the world looks like and how our sin begins to harden our heart. He says, but now, therefore, you, talking to the Christian, you are different. Remember that you were brought up in Christ. Our identity is nowhere other than in him. My identity is not in the job that I do, the family that I live in, the money that I have in the bank, or anything else. My identity is in Jesus Christ. And he is different. He is different. Paul says, remember, you took off that old self. That old person that I used to be before I knew Jesus Christ, he is on a cross somewhere, and I never want to see that guy again. I don't want anything to do with him because I'm new in Jesus Christ. And everyone who puts faith in Christ, that is reality for us. We are new. And if I am new, I've got to act it, walk it, live it, talk it. But what does that look like? I thought about that. You know, a lot of times pastors will say things like this. We are new in Jesus Christ, but what in the world does that mean? How am I supposed to act? How am I supposed to talk? How am I supposed to walk? What is it that I need to do? These are valid questions. These are good questions to ask because we need to know the answer to those questions. So what does it look like? Well, Paul begins to tell us exactly what that life looks like. He says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgive you. Paul says, hey, Christian, do you want to know what the Christian life looks like? This is it. This is it. You need to walk differently, talk differently, act differently. Because something supernatural is happening inside of you. You are being changed, not from outside not from outside resource or outside sources in any stretch of the matter. It is all coming from within us as Christ God has forgiven us and given us the Holy Spirit living inside us. And He is changing us. He's changing us if we let Him. Like I said, I couldn't do the changing on my own until I come to Christ. Once I come to Christ and I've seen my own sinfulness and my own desire to want to change, He helped me. And He began to supernaturally change each and every one of us who have faith in Christ. He's working in our life because our identity is not of this world. It is in Christ Jesus. But this is a lifelong journey that we start. I don't care when you start it. It'll last your entire life. And it takes a lot of work, not only from God's part, but from ours, because we have to let Him do that work. But godly character is what the world must see in us. Godly character is what the world must see in us. Am I allowing the world to see that? Am I allowing the world to see my godly character, my identity that is in Christ Jesus? It's not about just the things that I am doing differently. It's about the things that I am not doing now. Okay? It's not just about the things that I am going to do as godly character, but it's also the things that I once was doing. I'm not going to do those things anymore. If you were a liar, stop lying and tell the truth. God hates lying lips. He hates it. Stand up for what the truth really is. And let me tell you, that can be difficult and hard in our day. It could cost you an awful lot. But standing for the truth, that's what matters. You know, not only for those that are lying, but those that are stealing. Get a job. Get a job and do something useful with your hands so that you may help share for those that are in need. If you're angry, and let me tell you, anger in our day is a huge problem. We can get angry pretty fast just looking at Facebook, let alone anything else. If you're angry, don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. Because guess what happens when you let the sun go down and you are still angry? The devil will take pleasure in that because it is a playground for him to run things through your mind that'll never happen. But by golly, it is an absolute waste of time and it'll take years off of your life if you let it. Do not let anger go down before the sun is set. Resolve it. Resolve it. Let it be taken care of. We are supposed to be different, and we need to act that way. You know, as I begin to finish up here this morning, Paul says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. You know, many times we will use unwholesome talk to tear others down. That's what that type of language is meant for. It's to tear things down, to cause animosity, strife. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. You know, we were brought from an empty way of life as a follower of Jesus Christ. We were headed for destruction until we met Him. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Unwholesome talk is not just about swearing. Although swearing is a big one. I can remember when I was a very, very young Christian and I had just been saved and I had just started getting to know who Jesus is. And I was reading my Bible every morning before I would go to work. And then one morning I went to work and I got angry and I give the devil a foothold. And there were words that come out of my mouth that have been coming out of my mouth since I was probably, before I was a teenager. I could swear like a sailor with the best of them. And those words come out of my mouth, and in an instant, I felt total regret and shame. My children, Scott, do not talk that way. And in an instant, I found out I need to change my language and vocabulary. And it stopped. And it has to stop in all of us. Why? Because that's the way the world talks. I'm sorry to say it. That's the way the world talks. And if I'm a follower of Christ and I'm talking like the world, I'm not talking the right way. Watch our language, because it matters. It really does. It matters. Say something that is going to build someone up. How many moms do we have here this morning? Let's see those. Yes. We have those hands going up, because this is not something that dad would say. When mom would hear something like that come out of our mouth, if you, mom or grandma, because grandma would say it too, if you have nothing nice to say, then don't say anything at all. Silence is good sometimes. You know, this is the advice that Paul gives. But he also says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes we question, how in the world do we grieve the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit is what God has given us as a deposit for our redemption. He lives inside of us, and he's the one who is actively working to change us. He reminds us of what Jesus said. He reminds us of the teaching. He's the one that guides us when we pick up the scripture and we begin to ask questions. And he is the one who is sitting there saying, do not do what you're thinking about doing. Don't do it. But when we ignore him or flat out go against what he is saying, that's grieving him. We got to pay attention and listen to him and do what he's asking us to do. Because if we don't, he knows best. He knows best. You know, sometimes we need to clean the house a little bit. You know, we can look at our lives and we can see the downfalls that we have. And sometimes we need to take the trash out. We need to get rid of that stuff. We need to take it out. Get rid of all the things that are not part of our new character. If there's something that you have in your life that is being extremely difficult to get rid of as a follower of Christ, there are things that we need to do. Number one, we definitely need to be praying about it. And when I say we need to be praying about it, that's not just you in your private prayer closet praying about it. Because sometimes God wants us to share those things that we have going on in our life so that other people can begin to pray with you. That's how we build each other up. There is not one of us in this room that is perfect. Not one that is perfect. There is only one who is perfect. So we're all in the same boat. We all have stuff that we deal with. We all have sin that really entangles us pretty easily. And we need each other's support to help each other get through it. So don't think that you can keep it between just you and God. Maybe God's saying you need to say something to someone else. Let them know that you're struggling with this so that they can help you pray and get through it. We need to get rid of all the bitterness and the rage and the anger, the brawling and slander along with every form of malice. We need to let our new character shine, just like the eggs. That white egg was so different than all of the rest. When people look at us, I pray that they say, he is different, she is different. Why are they so different? Because of Jesus. That's it. It's all because of him. And that we take the opportunity to share that. Because sharing it is so important. It is so important. Do I know if Jesus is going to come this afternoon? No. Do I know that he's going to come next week? Nope. Do I know that he's going to come by the end of this year? I don't know. Is it going to be 10 years from now? I don't know. But I do know one thing. He is coming. He is coming. And we have to be ready. We have to be ready. And all those people that we know that do not know Jesus Christ, do we fully understand what awaits them? That should scare us to death. And that should push us to say, you know what? I'm going to say something to somebody in my family, at work, at the gas station, no matter where it is. If I see something and I feel the Holy Spirit nudging me, I'm going to share Jesus with them because he changes everything. He changes everything. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ, God, forgave you. Are there things in this world that we experience that we go, I cannot forgive them for that? I cannot forgive them for doing that. If you're one of those people, then you put yourself in a prison because it'll eat you alive. It'll eat you alive. Forgiveness doesn't mean that we agree with what they've done. It means that I've forgiven them. Just like God forgave me. For all of the things that I have done in my life, all the things that I will do that have gone completely and totally against him, and that he should punish me with complete separation from him, but by faith in Christ, he says, I love you and you're forgiven. And you are my child. That's the way we should be living. That's the way we should be forgiving, just like God forgave us. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we thank you for this day. Lord, and I pray that you would just help us take in all of this message. Father, speak to our hearts on the things that we're doing right. Speak to our hearts about the things that we need to change. And Father, I pray that you would help us to change them. Lord, we give you honor and glory today because you are the best Father. And Lord, as we go and we celebrate with our earthly fathers today, I pray, dear Lord, that you would just bless that time. Father, help us fathers to be different. Help us to be better. Lord, we all could get better. We give you thanks and praise for who you are. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.